Man, people crazy out these streets, bro. I've been grinding since I was like 15 with this music, bro. I've learned that I can't please everybody. And there's been a lot of love, but there's also been misunderstanding, hate, and this box they put me in. And it makes them uncomfortable if I'm not in it.
DJ KJ.
And I ain't in it.
What's up? Welcome back to I Went Out. I'm Manny.
I'm Nick.
And today is Friday. We're recording late, so this may be posted at like 12 midnight. It may be now Saturday, but we have a very special guest on. A pastor. Apostle.
Champion.
Yes. Prophetess Miranda. Miranda Hill is in the building.
Yeah, man. I'm very glad that Nick added champion. We'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, I'm super excited. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, happy to have you.
It took a lot.
I know. So Miranda was a part of our I Went Out Fantasy Football League, and Nick and Miranda actually made it to the final round. And one person...
No, that's not the case. Miranda beat me in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah, I did not make it to the championship. She ruined my championship dreams. So
I'm glad that you said that, Nick. Glad
yeah.
Who did you face in the championship?
Corey.
Corey. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even a matchup. Miranda ran away with that one too.
Yeah.
That is also correct. I'm sure Corey. Shout out to Corey. I'm sure he will say that it was rigged, that he wants a recount. But
I want the record to show. I had the best record in fantasy football.
You did. But also, you didn't make it past the first round of the playoffs. So
yeah,
You did have the best record. I will give you that.
I did. Yeah. 10-3. Thought I was rolling strong, and then I ran to the brick wall, Miranda.
I can't talk no smack because my team was terrible.
You went 1-12. I just
my team was terrible. I literally my first three picks, I think, were all injured for basically the entire year. I think McCaffrey was injured. Somebody else, I think, in the second round that I picked was injured. I just ended up not even paying attention to the league.
Do you want me to tell you what your record was? Because I have it pulled up on my phone. I don't know that you want this info.
Tell me what it was.
It was 1-12.
Terrible,
but
right?
To be fair, I think your one came against me. Like, I think you
really
beat me in the – yeah, I think. Don't quote me on that. But
that was my worst year ever in fantasy football. I've never had that many injuries, and then like I just completely did not pay attention to the league. So
yeah, week 11, dude, that was your one W was against me, and wow. you demolished me that week somehow, some way.
Then I had to have had like a million people on the bench, and people not starting.
I'm looking at it now, and you didn't even, honestly, no offense, you didn't even try this week, like. Like you had a dude on the that had a bye week.
Yeah,
you had some people that scored some zeros, and I tried my hardest and got spanked. So yeah.
I'm telling you, I completely lost interest after McCaffrey went down. I was like, this is nothing else I can do.
Yeah, my boy CMC only played like three total games.
Not drafting him first overall again.
That's fine. Not happening. I'll take him next year.
Unless he's in Houston, because then they're not going to have anybody else to give the ball
to. Just saw that. I read something earlier. It said Tepper is not willing to part with CMC.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He wants to hold on to that dude.
Yeah. Do you blame him?
Hmm? No, not at all.
Not at all.
Like, you can't. In my mind, like, at first I was like, oh, I'll let go of a running back. But then I realized he's not just a running back. He's a receiver.
Yeah,
we'll get to that news later. We're still in fantasy glory right now.
You got that right. Listen, I'm milking this for all it's worth, okay? My first season doing fantasy, and I take home the W, y'all ain't telling me nothing on this offseason. Come at me with the, oh, it's your rookie season. You had rookie luck. Y'all drafted the same day that I drafted. You had the same waivers that I could have had. You had the same opportunities. But you just didn't use them.
Hey. But what year did it happen in, though?
The 1 year everybody's gonna forget.
Yeah. Yeah. 2020.
Manny, don't try to rain on this.
Miranda will never forget 2020 just because she won fantasy football.
All I hear is 1-12 talking right now. That's the one good thing. Well, there's a lot of good things in 2020.
Yes.
Let me not say that. But that was a highlight. So, because I remember you, Manny sent me a text. He was like, hey, so Odd One Out's doing a fantasy football league. Like, we have a spot open. I don't know if you play fantasy, if you want to do it. And I was like, dude, I've never done fantasy in my life.
I feel like I sent you a whole article teaching you how to play the game.
I love football, because that's why Manny said, he's like, I know you watch football, I know you know football. I was like, yeah, I just have never been in a fantasy league, like that's not something that I ever did. And so he was like, hey, here it is, like check it out if you want to do it, we got a spot. So I was like, all right, cool.
Beginner's luck. That's what happens, that draws you in, and then you'll never win again. That's what happened to me. I won my first year, not an Odd One Out, in another fantasy league. I won it all. And I haven't won anything since. So it's just kind of like it hooks you. And then it's like, just kidding. You're never going to win again.
Okay, watch me win next season. That's all I got to say.
I'm going to make sure when I set this up next year that me and you are in the same division. And we're going to duke it out.
That's fine.
Because then we'll play each other twice.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to make sure I'm in the same division as Manny as well. Because I know I need it.
Rico made the grass the same way.
And I got to get Rico in there too, because Rico didn't have a good squad. So, but that's because he has some weird values on players in general. So.
True.
Oh, I just shrunk.
There was a lot of smack talk on draft night. There was a lot of smack talk. And then the season hit and it was like crickets.
Yeah.
Like, nobody said the first couple weeks. Well, I think honestly, we probably all were a little shell-shocked at the NFL world because everything fell apart and everybody fell apart, right? Mm-hmm. But then, that group chat was real quiet.
It did. It got real quiet.
It did.
That's because
it was a weird year.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
It's a weird season.
And we had a Super Bowl, which is even crazier that we actually got to that point.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing because I think the NFL is really the only professional league that didn't have any hiccups. No. I mean, there was some times there where some teams had to reschedule games, but it wasn't any canceled.
Nope.
Right.
Yeah.
Which honestly, I think is just insane.
Yeah. Like,
their protocols must have been doing something right.
The
fact that they could just reschedule things, but not having to cancel, and then on top of that, holding a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got to give it to them. Whoever led their whole medical stuff, we need to get into our government because apparently they know how to handle it better than their own government did. So
right.
Look, you heard it first, folks.
We got to get the NFL.
Talk to the NFL.
Yes. So. Biden, you need to call up the NFL people. Get them on your team at this point. So.
I mean, I think they're starting NFL stadiums. So, maybe just put NFL
stadiums. That's true.
That's true.
Yeah. Just don't go to LA and see the Chargers staff.
Oof.
Accidentally
get stabbed. They're not known to do anything good with needles at this point. So
they will Tyrod Taylor you.
You want the vaccine? All right. Oh, sorry, that went in your throat. My bad.
Oh.
I missed.
All right, Miranda. So I know you are a Patriots fan, right?
I am. I hope that the people listening are not turning off right now simply because you said that I'm a Patriots fan.
I just turned off.
I would like to know that I am a diehard Patriots fan with or without Tom Brady. So this season was probably the hardest season because, number one, people are like, the Patriots aren't going to be anything because they don't have Tom Brady. And then the Patriots showed that they were a little slack. But it's okay. We got a couple rebuilding years coming up here, but nothing that we can't handle.
Yeah.
That's because Belichick doesn't know how to use a Cam Newton. Cam Newton is not a Tom Brady. You can't do that.
That is a very accurate statement. I'm sitting here talking like I'm part of the Patriots staff. Like, man, we're building year, but things will get better. But I mean, really, it's especially living because right now I'm in North Carolina. Especially living in North Carolina, people are like, wait, you're a Patriots fan, but you've got the Panthers like 3 hours away. I'm like, I know.
What's wrong with you?
And that's exactly what people say. They're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, it's family ties, man. Being a Patriots fan is how I grew up. And so we were Patriots fans pre-Tom Brady, and I will be a Patriots fan post-Tom Brady. So,
who were the two quarterbacks before Tom Brady?
What?
Who were the two quarterbacks that played
don't
before
do
Tom?
That. I was a child. Okay, don't do that. I was a child.
All right, I always test people like when I tell them, "Oh, I was a fan before." I was like, "Who the quarterbacks for?"
I only know the one that Tom Brady replaced.
All right.
Yeah, it was Bledsoe, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Drew Bledsoe. Yeah. That's when I got people telling me, "I've been a Seahawks fan forever." I was like, "Who was the Seahawks quarterback before Russell Wilson?"
Like now that one was Matt Flynn, right?
Yeah.
In between year, it was Matt Flynn. And then before that, it was like Matt Hasselbeck.
Tavarius Jackson. We can't forget
Tavarius
about
Jackson. Yep. There we go. Yeah.
I know way too much about football, and it's really sick when I think about it sometimes. I'm like, God, I've got all this wasted space up here.
Like, I can fill it with football.
Yes. Right. I was able, at one point in time, I could name the starting offense and starting defense from most teams. It was ridiculous.
I don't know whether that's impressive or...
No, it's not. It's embarrassing that I had that much headspace.
I need you to go do something else. I don't know.
I love football. I loved it. Yeah. So that's just what it
was. When I was an avid Madden player, I knew pretty much everyone.
See, and I think that helps. Because I was so much into Madden 2 back then. I can't do that now. I can tell you my starting offense and defense. Yeah. Well, not this year because, you know, we went through many pieces. Yeah. All of our injuries, so
I mean, I can still tell you pretty much the least of these on the Washington football teams, to the most known, but around the league, I know main players and deep into some rosters, but not 53 and all that. So,
it's no point in knowing all that,
just
knowing that every single one of them makes way more money than I'll ever make in my life.
That's what's the sad part is, like, I'm sure the NFL water boys make more than I will ever make in my life.
What's the minimum for practice squad? Like $500,000 a year?
Yeah, something like that. But point in case is Tyler Heinicke.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. He just got re-signed.
Yeah, who was at ODU for most of the season, taking, like, ridiculous mathematics classes and... got picked up and made it to the playoffs, had a great game, and Washington just signed him to a deal that could get to $8 million, but
stupid.
Pretty much guaranteed is like $4 million, which is...
So dumb.
Yeah. But it's right there for... He's now one of the highest paid backup quarterbacks, potentially be a starter, depending on what goes on with the quarterback situation.
I'm going to have to go into Coach Kevin's gym this week and be like, all right, man, it's time to get me in football shape.
Yeah.
My goal is not to make the NFL, but the practice squad. That's it.
At least the practice squad, right?
I will sit and be a dummy all week long and practice every week and just get $500,000. I'm good.
That's right.
That's insane to me.
All you have to do is be a backup quarterback, man. Backup quarterbacks make money.
I would just like to point out, Manny said, all you have to do. Like, it's like you just fill out a question. And you're like, NFL backup quarterback? Yeah, that sounds really
good. That's all I had to do.
I don't feel like... I feel like I probably could have played on par with Teddy Bridgewater this year, so...
This year.
True. I'm pretty sure I could push the ball further down the field than he could.
Yeah. I mean, you have Colt McCoy, who is still one of the highest paid backup quarterbacks.
That's so crazy. It's so ridiculous. Crazy.
So,
all right. So, what we're hearing is next season, catch Nick as a backup quarterback.
Yes, sir. You heard it first. Yo, is that Nick Oliver as a backup quarterback? Yep.
And
then when my number gets called, I'm like, oh, I think I'm sick. I can't do this.
Yeah, you can't do it. Can't do it.
Coach, my back's really hurting. I don't know.
Coach, I'm 31, man. I ain't got it in me anymore. We just signed you last week. Yeah, I ain't got it in me.
I'm going to go hide your helmet under the bench. I don't know what my helmet is. Okay, I can't go out there with my helmet.
I feel like something's wrong. I need a shot. And then get stabbed in the lung.
Hilarious. All right, so we just witnessed history. Of course, your former quarterback.
Yeah.
Tom Brady winning another one, now becoming the most decorated athlete pretty much in sports. Although I think we kind of forget about Serena Williams. And
thank you. Man, I'm so glad you said that. I know we're not talking about tennis right now, but I just want to point. Tom Brady's my dude. All right. Like, He was our quarterback. So I, of course, for me, there's a little part of me that was a little salty watching the Super Bowl. Cause I was like, all right, but Tom, you used to be like, that could have been us. We could have had something beautiful together. Meaning the Patriots and Tom Brady, not me and Tom Brady. I would like to point out. But I, man, you can't help but cheer for the dude. You can't help but want to see him take it to that next level. But we got to keep in mind, I'm all about female empowerment. Mm-hmm. Serena Williams is at the top of her game, the top of the tennis game. Yeah. And anybody that wants to try to question that, I just want you to look at the stats. We can have that conversation later because right now we're talking about football. Yeah. But thank you for bringing that up, Manny.
Yeah. Arguably, I mean, there's an argument, and I would definitely make it, too, that she may be the greatest athlete that we've seen. So
I would second that argument, but I don't know that people are ready for that conversation because Serena Williams is a black woman. So that's a whole nother odd one out podcast. So I'm gonna get into that right now.
Shout out to whoever makes her bodysuits. Now, any.
All right.
And on that one.
Moving on.
Tom Brady winning his seventh Super Bowl ring.
Man. Yes. We have to throw. I never told anybody this, but I had a theory on who Tom Brady really was. Okay. I really felt like Tom Brady was the Antichrist. All right. Check me out. The number 12, 6-2 times. And 6 Super Bowl rings, 666, boom, Antichrist.
I hate that.
That's hilarious. Well, his wife actually did come out one day and said something about that she's like a witch and actually prays.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Did you see that? Did you see that? Like, that's a literal thing. Like, she actually came out.
I didn't see that, but I can't say that I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm not wrong. Maybe I'm not wrong at all.
Okay, well then maybe I'm.
He's tapped into the youth forever.
Gone from the Patriots. So.
Right.
I'm just kidding. I never did that. I literally just made that up sitting here because I don't like Tom Brady.
Did you guys see the video of the Bucks Super Bowl? Their parade, their boat parade.
Yes.
Where Tom is just throwing the Lombardi Trophy like it's nothing.
Yeah, it's like, nothing to him now. He's had so many of them.
He's got so many. He's like, oh, you want it on this other boat? Yeah. Here you go.
Did you see them having to like help him walk?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I was like, Tom Brady is a Florida man now.
Well, I think wasn't Bruce Arians cussing on live TV? Yeah, it's a bad. They were all a mess.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Gronk, honestly, was just being Gronk.
That's expected.
Exactly. Dude,
that's expected.
Almost falling off the boat with no shirt on. He would do that in Boston if he was still in Boston. So, yeah,
I'm just mad that that game happened the way it happened.
I would agree.
Yeah. What did you guys think of the game, like the actual game?
I thought it was terrible. I thought it was a terrible look for the NFL as well. I was texting you that night. I was like, this is a really bad look for the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had high hopes for that game.
Yeah.
High hopes. Like,
well, they had every media person was talking, hyping up, like, this might be one of the greatest games ever. It was nothing but a dud.
Yeah,
it was. But I can't say that Patrick Mahomes didn't try.
No.
He tried.
That dude was a baller.
Yeah.
Making, like, in, you know, freaking Madden glitch passes everywhere. Man.
Falling to the ground.
There were passes that weren't completed that were like, nobody can make those kind of throws. Like, it was one pass. It was actually two in the second half. One was that one where he hit the player on the sideline right in the face. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was when he ended up going all the way back in the backfield. I think it was like on the third down. They were in the red zone. Mm-hmm. And towards the sideline, he just flicked it.
Yeah.
50 yards down the field, hit the guy right in the hands. I think it was Travis Kelce, right in the hands, and he dropped it. Could have been a touchdown. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, he had quite a few drops that night. A lot of the receivers did. It was unfortunate. Yeah. But there's one thing that you will never beat. It's Tom Brady and the refs. When they are conjoined together, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Patriots fan, and I will admit there have been some Super Bowls. There have been some games, just regular season games, where there's a call made and I'm like, that's not the right call. Like that, there's no way that any ref would have made that call. Like, I will absolutely stand by that. I will say that there have been calls made in the Patriots' favor and in Tom Brady's favor that should have never been calls, but I think they were calls because of who he is. Like, I would go back and say
that. Well, it wasn't even that. Like, I mean, it was calls against the offense. Kansas City offense were just ridiculous. Like, some of the calls they were saying, like, there were some obvious holds, but a lot of the calls they were making is like, dude, this is the Super Bowl. You let that go. Yeah. What are you doing?
See, my whole thing is like, and it's not just the calls that happens to the other team, it's the calls that they don't even call on Brady and the offense, you know? Like, it's you can tell that it's no balance in their calls. Yeah. So I don't know. There's a big conspiracy theory with that.
Yeah. Well, I'll give kudos to their defense though, bro. Their defense is Antonio Winfield Jr. is a beast.
Yes.
That kid.
That loves defense, man.
Yeah. And then what's Devin White? Is that his name?
Yeah, Devin White.
That dude is ridiculous. That whole linebacker, like Levante David, all like Shaq Barrett, Jason Pierre-Paul, all them dudes, man.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now Ndamukong Suh has a ring, and I do not like Ndamukong Suh at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty player he is, stomping on people.
Right.
I mean, not that I get to award MVP of the Super Bowl, but if it was up to me, it would have been the Bucks defense, hands down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For me, that's why the Bucks won.
Like, absolutely.
Tom Brady's making passes and players are catching them, but like, number one, it was Brady and Gronk on two connections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't have had any of that if it wasn't for that Bucks defense. So, I mean, you got a Bucks defense that's holding Tyreek Hill to basically nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what's his name, man? I feel like he really had a solid game plan, Bowles. After that one game, week 13, where they played each other and Kansas City just like blew them out of the water. And I feel like Bowles like really learned from that and then put a solid game plan in place that just really worked really well.
Yeah.
So
I like Todd Bowles, man. He's a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to get another opportunity to be a head coach again. Yep. He's a good coach in general, you know, and, you know, I talked about this on Twitter earlier this week. Bruce Arians being intentional about empowering the black voices and really, I think they're basically like almost an all black coaching staff. And I made this point on Twitter that some people didn't agree with, but I feel like Eric Bieniemy, should his contract ends at the end of this year, or it's probably already ended, I feel like he should go to Andy Reid and demand play calling duties. And it's not because of anything that Andy Reid did wrong or anything like that, but I feel like he should demand it because he's like at an impasse right now, career wise. I mean, it's like gone 2 years now where he has not been seriously considered for a head coaching gig, and I feel like he should. And I think part of that is that people think that it's completely Andy Reid's offense. You know, so I feel like Andy Reid should kind of take some notes from Arians and say, okay, I see there's a guy here who's a very intelligent offensive coordinator. You know, let me empower him and give him opportunity to prove himself so that he can get that next up position as a head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's already in what's that one? There's a thing that came out recently where it's Andy Reid, Bieniemy and Mahomes get together and draw up some of those crazy plays that we see on Sunday. Yeah. So it's like, why not just let him like give him the shot? Like, because Andy Reid keeps saying he deserves a head coach job.
Right.
Let him take the reins for a season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When it comes to calling plays, and then at that point, no one can say, "Oh, it's Andy Reid's office." Like, no, this was Eric Bieniemy. He did this.
Right.
Yeah.
So
apparently, he's allowed him to call some plays in the playoffs occasionally. So it's not like he can't do it. You know, I just want to see. You know, I don't know if it's an ego thing or if it's really that there's something there that Andy Reid doesn't trust him calling plays. But I think at the state of the league right now with the lack of minority head coaches, I think that Andy Reid should be a little more intentional about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what did you guys think of halftime show, pre-time shows?
I just want to go on the record of asking when her is going to get
yes.
the time show.
Amen.
Amen.
Honestly,
Me and Manny were talking about that as well.
Yes.
I would have sang America the Beautiful, the national anthem, and the halftime show, and I would have still asked for more. So that's where I am on it.
They better set her up next year for that.
If they don't, then I need to speak to a manager. Like, because honestly,
she has a ton of hits now.
Yeah.
You know, she's won Grammys. She may go down as being one of the best female electric guitarists.
Oh, ever. Yeah.
She's solid.
She's the best that I've seen.
Yeah.
I saw her do a whole Prince tribute. And anybody that can do a Prince tribute and play all the guitar riffs and everything, come on. There's no, she's a beast, man. And, you know, and I love Jasmine Sullivan doing a national anthem. She did a great job. But I feel like she kind of people kind of talked about her a little more than they talked about Jasmine Sullivan a little more than they talked about her. At least what I saw on Twitter.
I agree, but I also think that part of that could have been, and this is my opinion, so take it for what it's worth, which is, depending on who you talk to, is not a lot, but I personally think that Jasmine Sullivan saved that national anthem.
Yes,
that's just me. I'm not a huge, country music fan, and not a huge Eric Church fan. If you are, that's cool, whatever, but for me, just the way it started, I was like, all right, I ain't into this. Because the national anthem at the Super Bowl is like something people are watching for, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so the national anthem at any big sporting event like that is something people are watching. And he started that off. I was like, no way, I'm not into this. And then when she came in, I was like, all right, there it is.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm looking for. And so I think that's part of the reason why people talk more about Jasmine Sullivan than her. Is that right? Well, I think her is probably way more musically gifted.
Yeah.
But I think that could be the reason why people were talking about it a little bit more.
Yeah.
I didn't take away from Jasmine though. She's a beast vocally.
Yeah. I didn't even know who Eric Church was until the national anthem. No, I think I've said it on our music podcast that we've done that I do not like country music. There is not a country music bone in me. So I do not know any country music, and apparently he's a big dude. Apparently he's really popular.
He's big time.
So I don't know him.
I like country music. I'm not like a huge fan. I wouldn't say, hey, let's listen to the country music station.
Yeah.
But I'm also not opposed to listening to some artists.
Yeah. See, someone puts the country music station on. I'm like, all right, drop me off. I'm going to call an Uber. I'll meet y'all there.
But all right, I'm out. Peace.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't do that.
Yeah. But that halftime show, I don't. I would like to know your thoughts before I contribute my thoughts.
I like The Weeknd. I listened to The Weeknd long time ago. Like, so when he pulled out one of his songs from his one of his early EPs, I was like, all right, bro, go ahead, man. Like, he literally paid tribute to people who've been following him for a while. So I appreciated that. I'm not so much of a fan of him as I once was, just because the content of his music, of course, is not the best. And especially now it's all super poppy and I'm just not into that. But I thought it was decent. The first time in a while, I feel like, where a halftime show was literally just one individual. Cause every time in the past it's been like, this is the main one, and all of a sudden there's all these other people coming out and joining.
Other people, yeah.
So it felt like it was a lot more of a show this time than about the artist itself. Like, there was a lot of stuff. So
yeah.
Well, Bruno did it twice, didn't he? Didn't he do one by himself and then the other one was Beyonce?
But was it just by himself though? I know the one time it wasn't, because he was with Beyonce and Coldplay.
Yeah.
Is Bruno Mars dead? When's the last time that dude even put music out?
Well, he always kind of takes a break and then he comes out and then he's on top again. I mean, he's another one.
He's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. He's another one who is going to go down as one of the greatest in modern history.
The dude is literally a Michael Jackson.
Yes.
The things that he does are anytime I see him perform, I'm like, all right.
Well, he's another one. I judge people by when they do their Prince tributes. He's another one who can do a Prince tribute and crush it. You know, and my guy Usher, I don't know if you watched the Grammys last year, absolutely crushed the Prince tribute. It was ridiculous. Like, my fandom for him kind of went up a little extra notch just watching it. I mean, it was vocally. That was one of the best vocal performances I've heard Usher do.
Our listeners can't see this, but Manny has a Confessions poster on his back wall. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, he doesn't.
As the kids like to say nowadays, Manny stands. I wanted to look it up because I wanted to see. Yeah, Bruno Mars, the last time he did it was in 2014, but he had the Red Hot Chili Peppers with him.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers. And then he did it in 2 years later with Beyonce, Coldplay, and that crowd. So the last time somebody by themselves did it, I guess you could say Justin Timberlake, but it was Justin Timberlake, the Tennessee Kids, and then the University of Minnesota Marching Band. But the year before that was just Lady Gaga, which, let's be honest, she needs no other person with her to do anything. So
speaking of national anthems, Lady Gaga's national anthem at the Super Bowl, I don't know when it was. It was several years ago.
Yep.
Still, to me, is the best national anthem.
The chick's got pipes, man.
Over Whitney Houston?
Well, I wasn't. Like, when was that? That was a year before I was born, I think.
Okay, so you're talking like in modern. Your life.
In my lifetime, yeah.
Okay, I'll take that.
That I've seen, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think anybody will ever top Whitney Houston's.
No.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys ever see Marvin Gaye's?
No. Mm-hmm.
You never seen Marvin Gaye's?
No.
Mm-hmm. You got to look up Marvin Gaye's. A lot of people think it's between Marvin Gaye and Whitney's. Now, Marvin Gaye, because he's such a genius musically, or he was such a genius musically, he kind of, you know, changed it up a little bit and made it like an R&B song. So
I'm not mad about
it. It was smooth. It was Marvin Gaye, only he can do that,
right?
I think, go ahead.
No, you go.
I think Fergie that tried to do it. That's several years ago.
I literally was gonna say, like, I know we're talking football national anthems. But if we want to talk about just national anthems in general, Fergie's was by far
the worst
I've ever heard. In fact, I was watching the Super Bowl with some friends, quarantine safe, I promise you. It's like my quarantine bubble. I was watching it with another family, and their kids had never heard that national anthem. And I was like, oh, you've got to hear it. The look on their daughter's face was just one of like,
horror.
What? Yes. Mm. Or like, what is happening? Somebody really let her sing like this. And she was like, was she trying? Like, those were her words. Was she trying? And I was like, yeah, she was.
She was trying hard.
She was doing something. That to me will go down as probably the worst national anthem I have heard
The funniest thing about it was how the camera just kept panning to the different players, and they were all like, this can't be real.
I'm trying so hard not to laugh.
Yeah. Hilarious.
It was bad. That was bad. Yeah,
like, I would say it's probably the worst one I've ever heard. And I've heard people sing the national anthem at, like, high school football games. Yeah. So, you know, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Marvin Gaye's, I think, was at an NBA All-Star game or the NBA championship game, something. I don't know.
It says it was on February 13th, 1983.
Okay. Was it, what was it, at the All-Star game or?
Is that when the All-Star game would be? Well, there's another one. There's another one from December 14th, 1974.
It may be it. I would have to hear it.
The 1983 one is an NBA All-Star game.
Okay. Yeah. I think that was the one.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll have to listen to it.
Yeah. That one was it's different, but a lot of people compare it. That's like up there with Whitney to a lot of people. So
I'll definitely
think
to that.
Yeah.
But on the weekend,
yeah.
First of all, whoever did the audio at that thing should be fired because it was terrible. It was so absolutely terrible. His mic was just far too low. Mm-hmm. And just the mix and everything was pretty bad, so
and
you
that,
know, yeah, go ahead.
That camera, when he had his camera and was going all over the place, lost me. I was like, I gotta turn this off. Like,
well, yeah, see, as a person who's as a person who has light sensitivity and struggles with migraines, I had to like completely turn away from the screen because it was it was so triggering.
And I knew the minute that he
It's all over the place.
See it, but Nick started doing the weekend. But the second he started doing that, I was like, oh, this is about to blow the internet up. Mm-hmm. Like, the internet is going to eat this up. And yes. Sure enough, the halftime show wasn't even over before it started.
The internet never fails.
It doesn't take long.
Like I said, I like the weekend. I think I like some of his music. I don't know. I had a hard time with this halftime show. I don't know if it just didn't keep my attention or if I just was kind of like, eh, because it's the weekend and you haven't heard a lot from him. I've heard both sides. I've heard people say that they loved it. I've heard people say they hated it. And then I've heard people say, no lie, it's so funny that Nick was talking about, well, it's not funny about the Antichrist, but Nick was talking about the Antichrist. I've heard people saying that they felt like this performance like signified the Antichrist because of all the lights and the eyes and the masks and the bandages they were saying were masks and all this stuff. And like,
well, I will say the intro with like the angels or whatever coming down, I was like, okay, where is this going?
Yes, not that. I was like, maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it changed. I think it ended up being what, like a orchestra looking thing.
Yeah. That's. I mean, you got people will say that about every show. I mean, Lady Gaga will always draw that kind of attention.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Anybody and everybody.
So there are a lot of youth pastors who probably shouldn't have had Super Bowl parties, but did. That breathed a sigh of relief of like, all right, that wasn't as bad.
Right.
It could have been.
Yeah. It wasn't J Lo last year.
But I will say, The Weeknd has some music that's like, okay, bro. Like, he definitely, not saying he's like worship the devil, but he does have a lot of themes about how, you know, the devil tries to control his life and stuff like that. So, like, there's, I know I saw one person was trying to say, look, they were flashing the word devil at the halftime show. I was like, first of all, that was a show from 3 years ago, had nothing to do with the Super Bowl, but it also had, it was a part of his album. So, like, and again, that's why I'm a fan of his early music when I wasn't so much of a really good Christian. A really good Christian, still not a good person. So we're all bad. But yeah, and if anybody who's listening that might know Miranda who thinks that was all about the Antichrist, I would ask you to go listen to the Village's Revelation series now, so you can truly have a better understanding of everything that the Bible actually teaches and says.
Yes. Amen.
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 Amen. Wait, so I have a question though. Talking about half shows. What has been your favorite halftime show? Like, who has given your favorite halftime show in, I guess, recent memory, recent years?
Mine is easy. We were just talking about him, Bruno.
Okay.
To me, that was the funnest that I've seen and that I can remember.
I'd have to go with the same.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Maybe I'm just really basic.
Who was yours?
Because mine's a tie between, obviously, the queen herself, Beyonce, but then also, on the other hand, the Katy Perry one, Katy Perry Super Bowl halftime show.
I don't like Katy Perry at all.
In on a tiger. Big electronic tiger.
Yeah.
And then obviously Beyonce is just Beyonce.
Riding that tiger into Babylon.
That's right.
Look at you. There we go. And Beyonce, part of the Illuminati. Come on now. What are we doing here?
Wow, I'm like not saved at all.
I'm just saying that's where that kind of logic will take you. So
That's right.
I mean, come on, Beyonce, Destiny's Child, like my little 90s loving heart, like couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
When was Beyonce last? What was that? Was that the San Francisco Baltimore game?
That was,
I can't even remember.
2013. Super Bowl in 2013, and it was the Ravens and the 49ers.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When the lights went out.
Yep. Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm.
That pointed to something there. Lights went out.
Wow.
Let me just go repent. I am.
Yeah.
Great sinner, which.
Look. We'll always find a way to make some artist evil. We'll make it all evil, so.
Yeah, I mean, Beyonce's was good. I you know, I'm not a huge Beyonce fan. And Katy Perry's like, she has a lot of pop hits, so it was solid, and then like the performance was dope. But
with Katy Perry, she also had Lenny Kravitz and Elliott with her, and
true.
How are you gonna hate on Missy and Lenny Kravitz?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but
right,
you would be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just like, and I think this is the reason why I want to see her, because I just like musicians, like
yeah,
musicians. You know, like Bruno went from guitar. I think he played the drums, and her can play a million instruments.
I would agree with that.
So, yeah,
that's fair. That's valid.
Yeah.
All right, so her for the Super Bowl halftime show next year. All right, I'm down.
Yep.
I hope.
Not that I can make that decision, but, you know.
Yeah.
Just put a couple calls and you know people.
Listen, people, share the podcast. So word gets to the higher ups in the NFL.
That's right. Yes. We're going to get all kinds of publicity from this one.
The people want her.
The weekend's people are going to be coming after Miranda. Katy Perry's people and Beyonce's people are coming after me.
Yes.
Don't you dare tell them they're this.
We're with her.
We're
with her. Yes. Yeah. All right. So I guess it's the off season now. Before we close, what are your thoughts on your individual teams? I know Nick and I kind of talked a little bit about Carolina and Washington. So, you know, I guess start off the Patriots.
I don't know, man. I think that this season, taught us a lot. I think that being that first season out the gate without Tom Brady and without being in Tom Brady's shadows taught the team a lot. And I think I'm excited for next year because I think whoever comes in at quarterback, whoever fills that role, I think it's going to be more of a team unity because I think for so long the Patriots were just shadowed by Tom Brady. And I think that it was the Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Bill Belichick show. And while Bill is still going to be at the helm, I think as a team, there's going to be more unity. So I'm excited to see what that's going to look like. I think we've got some young talent and some good talent that is finally going to be able to rise up and really take the reins of that team and make it their own. And so will we make it as far as the Super Bowl goes? I hope so. But I think it's going to be another slight rebuilding year, which I think the Patriots really need. I think they needed this year to get stomped sometimes to really bring them back to reality. And I say that as a diehard Patriots fan, like this year was all about reality and was all about, okay, yeah, we're beatable. You know, we're not this steel wall that people come against and can't beat. Like we are beatable. We're susceptible to not finishing first in our division. And so next year is going to be another rebuilding process, but I'm excited because we got some really young talent, some really good talent. So
yeah, I do wonder if you guys may reach back into your back pocket and decide to go and trade for a good old Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy G.
You know, I would not be mad at that. I would not be mad at that, but I don't know. I think they're looking at some younger talent to look into the future because I feel like that's Belichick's about the long game, and I think that's where we're headed. I don't know. I'm not on the coaching staff. That's just, you know, Miranda's version and Miranda's vision here in little old North Carolina.
I only have two questions for you, Miranda.
For me?
Yes.
Oh gosh.
Because I love hearing like. I'm sitting here listening. I'm like, man, I'm just as biased when it comes to my team. We're all biased. When I want to know, who do you think your quarterback's going to be next year? Or better yet, who do you want your quarterback to be next year?
That's hard. I don't even know. Because
if it was someone you traded for, who would that be? And if it was a rookie, who would you draft? Take away Trevor Lawrence because Trevor Lawrence is out of the picture. Everybody wants Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, definitely. That's all. Mean, he threw like a 60-yard pass today.
It was
just a flick of his wrist.
It was so clean, bro. It didn't even break. He barely broke a sweat.
Yeah,
the dude's a stud. Yeah,
yeah.
Urban Meyer was just like the way he was talking about Dabo, and all his other coaches were there just drooling, wishing they had the opportunity. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I would love to see Jimmy back. I'm not saying that just because we brought that up, but I really would because the games that he played with New England, I think he showed a lot of promise. Dude's talented. Like I say, he showed a lot of promise like he's a rookie. But I would love to see him back and not in the shadow of Tom Brady, like really would. And I would love to see him make that team his own. I had high hopes for Cam Newton, but obviously that didn't work out. That didn't play out.
I mean, wasn't Cam pretty good early in the year, and then he got COVID.
Yes, and then he got COVID, and I feel like him COVID just like wrecked it.
Yeah.
But as far as drafts, I will be honest, I don't know enough draft QBs in the draft to be able to answer that question fully. Like I'm very confident in being able to say that I don't know the upcoming QBs. My hopes is that that's where we focus, because right now we're struggling. I think any team needs a good QB, a solid QB, to make momentum, to create momentum. So I'll be honest, I don't know as far as draft goes, but my hopes are, if we have to trade for somebody, Jimmy G is at the top. And we'll see.
Fair enough. My second question was, do you make the playoffs next year?
My heart wants.
Now remember Buffalo. Remember Buffalo now.
And don't forget Miami. Do not forget about Miami.
Bro, my heart wants to be like, yeah, duh. Like, that's my team. Of course I'm gonna make it to playoffs. But my gut is like, And some diehard Patriots fans will probably like diss me from, like, they'll delete me from the group chat. Not that I have a group chat, but that's just what the kids say nowadays. I don't think that we make the playoffs for the next couple of years.
Amen. I'm with you.
I don't. And if I'm being honest, I'm not mad at it, because I think for so long it was just a given. It was like, oh yeah, the Patriots are going to be divisional champs. The Patriots are going to be AFC champs. Like they're going to make it. They're going all the way. Yeah. And I think this year, especially, to not even make the playoffs was a gut punch for a lot of Patriots fans, and I think even the team too, because there was this unspoken, like, we always make the playoffs. We're always in the run. We're always in the game. We're always in the hunt.
Yeah.
So, listen, the next couple of years, if we don't make the playoffs, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think your division, like, again, Buffalo is the king right now, and I think they'll be on top for a while. But I do think if Miami especially goes out this year and gets Tua some weapons, and some more pieces, I think that Miami will be another one to contend for the division. But I think my hot take is, I think the Jets are going to be surprisingly better next year. I think Robert Saleh is really going to coach that team well, and I think players are going to respond, because that dude is just like, watching him on the San Francisco sideline, I'm like, those players love that man.
Yeah.
And he's like one of those type of dudes. He's just a leader of men. And when you can get a coach in a building like that, that's always good for the whole atmosphere of the team. So I think that, like, I'm not saying they're going to win the division or even make the playoffs or even be 500, but I think they're going to be surprisingly better next year just based on his coaching and the people they bring in. So
yeah, I foresee the Patriots having another hard year.
But it's all about, that's a rebuild. That's what happens.
Absolutely. But also because that division is, in the last few years, it's become stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my division. I'm just sitting back and like, hey, we're rebuilding, but all the while, all these other teams are old and dying.
Yeah.
Like, because when we're fully done rebuilding, Tampa's going to be all dried up. The majority of their defense and offensive players are old. They're not going to be able to retain a lot of these guys. Like, I'm pretty sure Godwin's going to leave this season. Or Goodwin.
Atlanta is too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And New Orleans, you know.
Yep. So. They're all old, man. So I'm really just sitting back.
New Orleans. They do have a good defense there, I think.
They do. But, I mean, some of their anchors are a little older.
That's true, yeah.
Like, these guys are not getting any younger. And I'm just sitting back and I'm like, you know what? I'm not mad about this right now, because we're getting younger.
You're sitting back saying that, and I'm looking at our division. I'm like, dang, all these dudes are young guns, and we're in a rebuilding.
And you know what's crazy? It's your doing. Like, you literally beat these teams in the submission every year. Finally started getting things right. And then once the king fell from the hill, all these other guys were like, finally, here we are.
Yeah, they're like, oh, wait, now we actually have a shot. Like, we're taking over. While the Patriots are like, oh, you mean you can win games, we can lose games? What is this? I don't know.
Yeah.
All that to say, I still rep my team. I still love my team. Amen. I will be a Patriots fan until toe tags and body bags.
Amen. And, a true fan.
Yeah, man. Regardless of what happens. So that's where I am. That's my hot take, because most people are like, you're a Patriots fan? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a Patriots fan.
Good.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting offseason. We've now added Russell Wilson to the
QB. Man, it's crazy.
Hat, which is crazy, so.
Insane.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't.
What was it? Was it Bleacher Report or NFL Network was kind of putting out there, like, the dynamic in the NFL is changing, where the quarterback is going to have a lot more influential of a role in the front office in general moving forward. Which, when you think about, like, these guys are getting paid top dollar. They should.
And then of all the players, your franchise quarterback is more than likely the one that's going to be the longest term tenured player on your team. So he should have a bit of a say.
Yeah. Or at least if you don't want him to have a say, let him have an ear. Like, let him hear, like, what's the decisions that are being made? Because it's going to drastically impact him.
Right.
Like, if you're talking about, like, if you're Deshaun Watson and you're talking about getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins, don't surprise the man. Like, have that man be a part, like, at least hearing it. Like, he might say his piece, but, like, don't let the man just be surprised like everybody else when the news breaks that you guys just gave DeAndre Hopkins away for a bagel. Like, come on now.
That's a bagel, man.
Yeah.
All right, so then the news, I don't know that I wouldn't say just, but J.J. Watt.
He's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Landing spots. What do you think?
He's coming to Carolina because we're going to use him as bait to bring in Deshaun, and then we're going to bring in Will Fuller as a free agent to just, you know.
Okay, hilarious.
But he's not coming to Washington, I can tell you that. There's like 12 teams that are interested in him, and Washington is not one of them. They wouldn't be one of them.
I mean, yeah, why?
There's no room.
That's a luxury at that point.
There's no room.
I think realistically, he'll probably sign Pittsburgh just to play with his brothers.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's what, I mean, just when you're at that point in your career, you're not really so much concerned about money, and Pittsburgh's really not too far off if they can get a few pieces right.
Yeah.
And I think, why not go play as your brother? That'd be fun.
Right.
For sure.
But in my world, I would love to see him come to Carolina just to add some leadership to that young defense. Mm-hmm. And just, I mean, who wouldn't want J.J. Watt?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because at this point, you're not bringing him in with the mindset that he's going to be your superstar. Like, at this point, like, you're bringing him in for just the man, the leadership, and just, I mean, he still has some left in the tank, but, like, you're bringing him in for a lot more than just the production on the field. Like, you're not getting 20 sacks from that man anymore.
Right.
But 10, maybe? 15? Yeah. Possible, if he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. And you put him in a good situation, so. Yeah. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But he's going to a contender. That's where he's going.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's going to go to Tampa. He's going to go to Tampa. That's what's going to happen.
Ew, no.
No, I don't think he'll go to Tampa. I have this feeling that he probably will end up somewhere in California.
Yeah?
One of those teams, yeah.
I don't think he – oh, man. The Rams – I think that's what – I heard what's his name? What's the big ear guy's name from NFL Network?
Big ear. Siciliano?
Yeah. He was talking, like, him and Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks were talking earlier about Siciliano was like, I would love to see him in the Rams with Aaron Donald. And then Daniel Jeremiah, but he's like, man, if the Rams can figure out how to bring him in, they are cap space wizards because they just don't have the money to do that. But if they do it, they're geniuses and everybody needs to be figuring out what's their method. So
yeah. Well, the Saints did it years ago with the safety from Buffalo, Jairus Byrd. The Saints were, like, terrible in their cap situation, and they brought in Jairus Byrd, and what they did was his first year, he only made, like, $2 million, but then, like, it just drastically increased, you know, which in turn ended up messing them up in the future, but still, it gave them the player in the short term, so, you know, the Rams are all in right now, man, and so.
Yeah, they are.
I can see it.
Could you imagine Aaron Donald and J.J. Watt? The same. It's just an intimidating idea.
Terrible. terrible.
I would not like to be those offensive linemen facing those massive people. So
absolutely not.
No. All right, before we log off, bold prediction. One bold prediction of the offseason.
One bold prediction of the offseason. I'm not gonna go yet. I'm thinking. Because I could say Deshaun Watson coming to Carolina, but that's really not bold anymore. Like, there's a lot of people that are like, hey, that might actually be a possibility. So,
yeah,
I'm not going to go with that. I had to think of something different.
You're still thinking?
Yeah, I'm still thinking.
I have one.
Go for it.
You can do it for, you want to do it for your team or do it in general?
Okay, that's a better question. What, like?
Let's do it for our teams.
For our teams? All right.
So I would say my bold prediction, Washington trades for Odell Beckham.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Need a receiver opposite Terry.
Yeah, man, that'd be a solid
move. I don't know who's going to throw to him, but according to some
mock drafts, it's going to be Mac Jones because you're picking him at number 19.
Could be. Mac Jones, could be Sam Darnold, could be cook up Russ.
Hey.
Never know.
Bold prediction from my team.
I don't know if it's a bold prediction. Maybe it's a bold want that will probably never happen. But back to the QB, I would love to see Deshaun Watson come in. That's just because coming from South Carolina and being near Clemson and seeing him take Clemson all the way, I just would like the dude at the helm for New England. Will that happen? Probably not. That's probably why it's a bold prediction, a bold statement. I don't know, whatever. But that's for me, that's what I would like to see.
Nick?
Man, I'm just wrestling trying to think of a bold prediction for Carolina. Man, because again, the Deshaun Watson thing's there, but at this point, it's not really bold anymore because, again, so many people have talked about it.
Right.
Carolina. All right. We make the playoffs next year.
Okay.
That's my bold prediction. That we will, whoever ends up being the quarterback, if it's Deshaun Watson, look, that's not a bold prediction anymore. We're making the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I just feel like we're going to make the playoffs next year. I don't know, man. I really like the pieces that we're putting together. That's definitely my bias speaking in here at this point, clearly. I do think if we don't get Deshaun, so I guess this is a bold prediction too, that we move up in the draft and either get Wilson or Fields. And I would prefer Fields over Wilson. Just because I found out he played baseball and he's not a like legitimate Ohio State quarterback. He played elsewhere first. So
yes.
I'm okay to bypass all those and draft that man. I don't know. I guess we'll make the playoffs. That's my bold prediction. Okay. My other bold prediction was Russ gets traded to the Dolphins. And the Dolphins give give Seattle Tua. And one of their first-round picks. That was my bold prediction.
Yeah.
So, because, again, if the Seahawks did trade Russ Wilson, they are not trading that man in the NFC.
No.
Yeah. So, same thing with Deshaun Watson. When they let that man go, he's not going to be traded to the Jets. He's not going to go to the Dolphins. They are going to make sure that man is in the other another conference. So,
yeah.
You just don't do that unless it's a player at the end of their career. Then you can trade him in your division, like, you know, Donovan McNabb. So, when you realize that they're done and washed up, they're like, yeah, go ahead. You can go play for Washington.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are my bold ones.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good. Cool. All right, guys. So before we log off, I guess we can kind of tease that Miranda's going to be on a little bit more.
Yeah.
So get used to the voice. We have a pretty cool series coming up. I guess we shouldn't say it. I don't know.
No, not yet. But, just know Miranda's going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Maybe we're putting a band together. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't.
We are absolutely putting a band together. Nick said that he is actually going to rap, so
yeah, y'all don't know.
Be ready. We're about to drop a fire mixtape.
A rap, fire. And I got a mean falsetto, so be ready.
Ooh, not the falsetto. You gotta gotta warn the people, Nick.
You know, right. Y'all listen to my music. I love guys like Gallant, Maxwell, so hey.
Yeah.
All falsetto all ready. Day. You know?
I know this man did not
ain't ready.
Maxwell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Just a reminder to subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Thank you all for listening. Please leave a rating and a review. And we'll catch you next time. Peace.
See you later. And if you happen to be the weekend, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, we do not think you're the devil. And if you want to know more about Christ, hit us up. We love you. And are praying for you. Beyonce, you too.
Yeah. 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 Okay, and Katie may be a little closer than everybody, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's pray.
We pray for all of y'all.
Yes. Amen.
See you.